We Talk Podcasts is now proudly presented by Geek Nation Tours. Check out the Geek Nation Tours New York Comic Con package, combining all the excitement of the convention with a tour of the city and the coolest sights for the superhero fan. You'll recognize locations from films and books and visit geek culture sites like Jay and Silent Bob's Secret Stash. The time of the geek is at hand. Geek Nation Tours provides fun and unique vacation packages featuring themes such as the Civil War, Harry Potter, board games and beer, sports geeks, in locations such as Germany, Japan, England, and all over America. Visit geeknationtours.com and get your geek on.
It's our latest episode of We Talk Fantasy Football, and right now, we're going to do something that we haven't done this year, and I'm looking forward to it. 32 teams in 32 minutes. What do you say, Mo?
Yes, basically, again, thanks to everybody for, that was Brett, and I'm Mo, and thanks again for everybody rejoining us on We Talk Fantasy Football. We're glad that, you know, it's our least listened to podcast, because it's brand new again, but we're still having listeners, and damn, we're pleased about that. And so we're really happy with the support. We're going to do 32 teams in 32 minutes, basically. Yeah, we're going to run down. I'm going to mention team. Brett's going to give me the thoughts on the players and his opinions on it. If he goes over 1 minute, I'll cut him off. He won't get to finish the thought. We'll move on to the next team. If he goes under it, then and I have something to throw in, I will do so. That is basically the concept. Anything else to add, Brett?
Nope.
No? All right, here we go. So we're going to start off. Oh, where are we going to start off? Why don't you call up the standings there? That'll make it a little easier for us. And we'll go through, probably start off in the AFC East with the New England Patriots.
All right. Well, clocking in at 3-0, you know, the Patriots are good.
That's why you come to us for the analysis.
That's right. Tom Brady is showing extraordinarily well. And again, they've managed to fit a guy like Deion Lewis in perfectly. It doesn't matter if a guy like Brandon LaFell is injured because, hey, Rob Gronkowski is totally standing up and dominating the NFL, which I suppose is pretty unsurprising. Their defense, you know, they're okay, but who cares when their offense can score a gazillion points a game?
Yeah, for me, I mean, is this going to change? Is anything going to change as the season goes on with Luck now that we know, or sorry, with Brady now that we know that he is suspension won't be reviewed again until early 2016. I don't expect any changes. And I expect Blount had three touchdowns this last week. I still think he could end up leading the league. So I think as a flex play, I would look to use him in the future personally. Next team, we're moving on to the New York Jets. But exactly 1 minute. Nice.
Nice. All right. Well, the New York Jets, I was a little surprised, I'll admit, that they lost the game to the Eagles. But at the same time, you know, their offense is still a work in progress. Fitzmagic is a capable starter, but he's not a great starter.
I think he's a better reality starter than a fantasy starter,
yeah,
as far as wins.
Ivory being injured certainly made a bit of a difference on the team. Otherwise, Brandon Marshall is still stacking up as a great, great value pick. And but still missing Eric Decker on that team.
Yeah, I think it's undoubted to me. At the end of the season, the only guy who I expect to be really fantasy relevant will be Marshall. I think he's going to end up as a top 10 receiver. And really, it's kind of, when you think about it, there was no reason he wouldn't. Why was he so far off people's radar? It shows just how easy it is to forget about the quality of a player. And maybe Ivory might end up as an RB3.
All right, the Buffalo Bills. Well, you know, Rex Ryan is still Rex Ryan, despite the fact that he's moved, changed teams. He's still a douchebag. But
what do you really think?
Yeah. But the truth is that I am really impressed by their decision to play Tyrod Taylor. The fact that, you know, Tyrod has had some up moments and he's had some down moments, but I love the fact that they're willing to give a running quarterback a shot. You know, especially for Rex Ryan, I think that's a real standout LeSean McCoy missing a lot of time definitely hurts them, but their defense is very strong, and they're finding ways to win.
Well, Carlos Williams has been a revelation as well. You know, it makes you wonder what it is about Taylor that they're able to do, because they've unleashed him. And what is it about him that works that Geno Smith doesn't work? Maybe just he's a better player at the end of the day. Certainly, they got him for a bag of balls, and well, make your own joke.
Miami Dolphins. Well, the Miami Dolphins are in all sorts of trouble. Their offense is nowhere near as good as it could be. But more to the point, their defense is an absolute disaster. I think they have one sack in three games, and on a team that has Ndamukong Suh, that really shouldn't happen. Overall, I mean, I'm going to have to say that a coaching change seems like it's in order.
Well, I think that's the thing. Is are they going to turn it around? They might, but I mean, I don't think it's a guarantee. Philbin probably needs to go. Yeah, I mean, I expected them to be a spectacular run-stuffing defense with Sue there, and they're not that. They're definitely a disappointment. And Landry's the guy who, I mean, he's awesome. He's consistent. But Miller and Tannehill, I think Tannehill will still end up top 10, but it's going to be hit boomer bust games. And Miller, all of a sudden, I'm not even sure will be relegated to RB3 status.
All right, Cincinnati Bengals. Now, here's a team that I am shocked about, because they're 3-0. And Andy Dalton has been playing really, really good. But the reason that they're 3-0 is actually mostly because of Andy Dalton, because it's not because of Jeremy Hill, who is the guy that I would have expected to drive that 3-0 train.
The thing about them is, and we've seen this with before Dalton, he gets hot and then he cools down. Then he gets hot and he cools down. So he's hot now. It doesn't mean that they're going to keep this up for the season. I think they're going to end up with a good season. I could see, like you say, them winning a playoff game finally. So I like that. Now, as far as Hill, he'll probably rebound slightly, but again, he's probably low-end RB3 value now. You're looking at a mid-range RB2 value, I'm thinking, for Bernard now, especially in a PPR. AJ Green will still be remarkable. Eifert will be hot and cold. They're a very fantasy-relevant team. They have a lot of skill positions where they're relevant
at. And their defense can be easily streamed. All right, moving on to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Well, the Steelers just took a big hit with the loss of Big Ben, so we're going to have to wait and see how Michael Vick plays out there. But one of the things that we know at the end of the day is they're going to give the ball to Le'Veon Bell, and they're going to throw the ball to Antonio Brown. After that, does it really matter on offense? It'll matter more on defense, where Michael Vick will now be forced to try to keep up with the other team scoring on their defense.
That might be the thing. I mean, I think Michael Vick will be very streamable. If you're looking for a streamable quarterback in the future, I think he's going to succeed there because he's the best weapon in coaching around him he's had in a while. And you know what? Brown will still be awesome. Bell will still be awesome. I don't expect that to change. Their defense was great last game, but that was against Kaepernick. So take that with a grain of salt. They still look to be a very poor defense. So, but that'll keep them fantasy relevant in a lot of shootouts.
Yeah, they definitely have a lot of relevance there. Just not the defense, probably.
And not with Heath Miller.
Okay, Cleveland Browns. Wow, there's not a lot to like about the Cleveland Browns, really. There's not a whole lot of fantasy relevance. I mean, Isaiah Crowell has been off and on. McCown can be streamed. McCown / Manziel can be streamed if you're absolutely desperate. A lot of people have picked up Travis Benjamin now because of his extraordinarily hot start, but we've already commented how that hot start is very unlikely to last.
We don't believe it'll last, no.
And I think that their defense, though, streamable, it's strong, but at the same time, like, that offense makes their defense worse just by the fact that the defense will be on the field so much.
This is still a team that I'm looking at and thinking 4 wins this season, so, I mean, how much fantasy relevant can you expect? Benjamin, I mean, he might get hot again or catch some deep balls, but he's been surprisingly consistent. I don't expect that to continue. It's amazing how little we still know about that team, actually,
all right,
after 3 weeks.
The Baltimore Ravens. So anyways, this is probably the surprise team, again, you know, on the opposite side of the Bengals, the Baltimore Ravens being 0-3. I was very surprised that they lost to the Raiders. And, I mean, given the fact that they have Flacco, they have Steve Smith, I mean, other than that, though, like, and they have Forsett, you know, so they have the makings of what could be an offense, but they haven't put it together yet. And they are really missing a strong go-to receiver. And I know Steve Smith is currently there, but will he be able to make it the whole season? And their defense has been, without Suggs, flat-out bad.
Yeah, Suggs is hugely missed. Gilmore, just when he was starting to emerge, now is hurt this week. Forsett, you expected a step back. It's more of a step back than I expected. You and I disagree on Smith, Senior. I think he's a fluke, just like last year, and I think he'll come back. You think that he's playing and will continue to be solid.
All right, the Indianapolis Colts. Well, they finally won their first game, as I kind of expected them to. Andrew Luck still didn't look very good, though, and so that's a little bit of a disappointment. Overall, Andre Johnson still not able to step up. I actually read that Andrew Luck to Andre Johnson, he has a 7.4 quarterback rating currently going to Johnson. It's not looking good for the old fellow there. Their defense is still definitely a work in progress, but Frank Gore kind of burst out a little bit last game, which was great.
Yeah, I think we know what we're going to see with them now. Andre Johnson is done, and I was wrong with him, because I thought he'd be a 100-catch guy. Gore will get touchdowns, even if he doesn't have huge games, and will be a consistent RB, probably mid-range RB3, high-range RB3. Luck will still produce. Hilton, all these guys will be fine, but mainly it's going to be high-scoring blowouts because their defense will continue to suck.
That's right. All right, well, here's the team on the opposite end of that, the Houston Texans. Their defense is exceptional, but their offense is still a work in progress. Now, Mallett did look a lot better. Mind you, for that matter, so did Blue. So I'm going to have to say that...
they're playing Tampa Bay.
It was a Tampa Bay thing less than it was a Houston thing. DeAndre Hopkins, man, that guy can flat out ball. He is playing amazing football, and he's actually better than I anticipated so far this year.
I don't even expect myself, Arian Foster, by the end of the season to be found as irrelevant. I expect it only to be Hopkins, but he is terrific. And their defense on the right matchup. Even their defense can be had when your offense is really terrible. Now it's a step up from Hoyer, saying nothing. I'm not... you don't have another guy, another receiver or tight end who's emerged. And Blue is not.
No, Blue is not going to last. That's for no questions about that.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to the Tennessee Titans. Well, Marcus Mariota, you said yesterday that he was number 7 as far as fantasy quarterbacks go. And that's a little surprising given that he's a rookie quarterback. But he's done really, really well so far. And I'm impressed with that. Everything else around him, though, is a collection of moving parts that hasn't actually seemed to really become like long-term fantasy relevant. Bishop Sankey had a great game, and then he flattened out. You know, Kendall Wright had himself a great game, but has kind of flattened out on a couple of games.
Well, he's on and off, so this will be his off week.
Yeah, so with the Tennessee Titans, I have no idea what I'm going to get from any given moment.
I think the question for me really remains if Andrews shows up as the running back that we hope the Sankey would be, then I think the defense will be good. Look, Mariota, after 3 weeks, number 7 fantasy quarterback. I believe he'll finish top 12. Great value.
Absolutely. Denver Broncos. Well, you know, Peyton hasn't looked very good, but the Denver Broncos are 3-0. I mean, that defense is absolutely killer. It's the defense that that people should have been drafting in place of, you know, even the Seattle Seahawks, certainly the St. Louis Rams. But I got to say that, you know, he's still feeding Emmanuel Sanders. He's still feeding Demaryius Thomas. And their running game is a disaster right now.
Thomas is so good. I think he's, and same thing with Sanders. His speed, I think, is actually inflating Manning's numbers. I don't think that he has the arm strength to make these guys as good as they could be. Is the thing he's actually they're going to put up good numbers despite Peyton, is my opinion. Peyton will be accurate, but he won't be deadly. And because they can't throw deep, they stack the line. Their run game is non-existent. I think the wheels will fall off in Denver.
49 points against, though, is great. All right,
great defense.
Moving on, the Oakland Raiders 2-1. I mean, nobody saw that coming. Derek Carr is totally looking like he's learned something from season 1 and is on the way to fantasy relevance even. Amari Cooper has definitely been, you know, the last two games were really good. I'm not sure that he's going to be a massive touchdown guy, but from a yardage and catch perspective, he's certainly...
What about Crabtree? Will Crabtree emerge or not?
You know, the thing about Crabtree is that he's making great catches. He's doing his job very well. It's just he doesn't get a big opportunity to do his job. But Latavius Murray has shown really well.
I think Murray is going to be the guy by the end of the year you're going to want there. I think Carr will cool off. I think Cooper will cool off, though Cooper's really talented. I think Carr's, I think his arm strength will always hold him back. But Murray, I think, will be a very solid 1,000-yard, 1,200-yard strong runner.
All right, I missed the South, but the rest of the South, oh well. San Diego Chargers, 1-2. I'm a little surprised. I expected them to be more 2-1, but they are a team. You know,
that's the best you can say, yeah.
Phillip Rivers is solid. You know, their running game is solid. Their receiving core is solid. You know, Keenan Allen has potential to show up in games. But again, we're still waiting on consistency from him. And their defense.
Well, he's had two great games and one poor game. Yeah. I mean, not good games. Great games.
Yeah. And their defense is piss poor.
Their defense is, but I think they're going to. I kind of suspect they're going to win the division, but before it's all said and done myself. So, I mean, I'm picking the Chargers to go. Gordon worries me. I just think he's got nothing at the run game. But when Gates comes back or Green gets healthy again, I just think they're going to be really, really dynamic on offense.
All right. Well, the Kansas City Chiefs, and, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs are a team that has been very good to a certain degree for a while. Now, I always looked at them and said, they're the worst good team that I've seen. But at the same time, when you have Jamaal Charles, it's very hard to be a bad team. But this year, they are looking quite poor when it comes to offense and actually defense. Their defense, I really expected to be great, but they've given up 89 points, which is very much near the league lead.
Well, they did play. They did play. Well, you know, Aaron Rodgers. The truth is their defense is nothing special. So, Macklin, exactly what you expected, maybe a little better.
Yep.
Kelsey, exactly what you expected, maybe a little worse. Charles, pretty much what you expected. Worried about the yards, but he's getting the TDs. I don't think there's a single surprise here. Everything you drafted or expected from the Chiefs, you're getting. It's just you might have expected them to have more wins and a better defense, but I didn't.
All right, back to the South. Let's finish that off. The Jacksonville Jaguars. Well, they won a game, so I got to tell you that that right there is better than I anticipated. Blake Bortles.
I didn't think they'd go 0-16.
No, but Blake Bortles is looking pretty rough. Yeldon probably has some stuff, but he plays on the Jaguars. Overall, Allen Robinson's not doing too badly, but I don't think he was a value pick because people were still expecting more and more and more, and their defense is flat-out bad.
I'm really high on Yeldon now that I've seen him play some. I think he's the most talented offensive skill position player in this last draft. That includes Winston, obviously, Mariota, Cooper, and everybody. But unfortunately, this is a team, they still feel like they're 1 or 2 years away. They felt like that for a long time. Difference is now I suspect they might actually be 1 or 2 years away. So look for them to be fantasy relevant perhaps in the future, though Bortles will be Alex Smith.
All right, NFC, Dallas Cowboys. Well, they lost Tony Romo. They've lost Dez Bryant. You know, Brandon Whedon came out there and helped the... And actually, Brandon Whedon wasn't that bad.
No, I mean, he threw up 260 yards and one pick, no TDs, but he did what they needed him to do. He opened up the lanes for the threw well enough that they could run.
The problem being is
such
that,
a great O-line.
Yeah, but they're really missing a strong wide receiver right now. Terrence Williams is not the guy who can take over for Dez Bryant. Terrence Williams is the guy who's fine being across from Dez Bryant.
And Witten peaked for the 3-4 years ago.
Yeah, Witten is definitely running on fumes at that point. He can play. But he's not a guy who can take over a game.
No, what scares me is, I mean, I still think your running backs will get production. What scares me is that defense. I mean, I thought they'd step up still, and they were supposed to be so good. Boy, did they get exposed by the Falcons.
All right. New York Giants, 1-2. I'm not 100% surprised about the 1-2. Eli's playing pretty much as I expected. Their defense is pretty much as I expected. Their wide receivers, I think that Odell Beckham has shown up sometimes, and he has his great moments, but he also can be taken out a little bit. But, you know, they're shockingly like the Chargers in that degree to me. But their running game is a complete mess.
It's a mess. It is the worst of your running back committees possibly out there in the entire league for fantasy relevance. They might end up with some decent numbers, and maybe you can use Vereen in the right matchup in a PPR. But, man, I don't want to touch a single one of these guys right now. Beckham is great. Manning is a low-end QB1. We knew that. Donald or whoever is going to be the tight end is not going to be relevant. And Randall will have a few big games, and people might think he's better than he is then.
Yeah, all right. Let's move on to the Washington Redskins.
Well, Victor Cruz is hurt again. Yeah. Big surprise.
Yeah. Washington.
I mean, as of today.
Washington Redskins. Okay. So Kirk Cousins is showing up finally as the Kirk Cousins we all know and expect.
He always does that.
Yep.
Shows a little bit of promise, then falls off.
Yep. I don't know what's going on with their run game either, because they've got Alf Morris, but they're really using Matt Jones. But they've decided that Matt Jones probably has a fumbling problem. But Matt Jones doesn't think he has a fumbling problem. They're missing DeSean Jackson in a big way, because Pierre Garçon is a good receiver, but he's become more of a complimentary receiver.
Yeah, Jordan Reed's being good because Jackson isn't there. But Jackson's back in probably about 2 weeks. I don't think that turns the team around, but I do think that then he becomes the number one and most fantasy-relevant, consistent guy in that offense. So if he's on your waivers, and he might be, I know he's in a couple of ours, I'd grab him.
And we'll look for Colt McCoy. All right, Philadelphia Eagles. Well, they won their game, which shocked the hell out of me against the Jets. But on the good side, you know, Ryan Matthews jump-started their running game, which, you know, again, very surprising, but, you know, good for him. DeMarco Murray, where does that put him? I don't know.
I do. When Murray comes back, it'll go back to what it was before, Murray getting about 60% of the carries, the other guys getting about another 20% of the touches. He'll end up with 60% of the touches. Murray and Sproles will end up with 20% or so each. And you know what? At the end of the day, I still think this is a team that's going to end up with a poor record. So, I it's just one good game. Matthews, puts up good numbers, but boy, he has a lot of drops.
Well,
wide receiver.
And once people figure out how to stop Matthews in this case, I think they over or underrated the Eagles in this case. All right, the Green Bay Packers 3-0, and they look like a team that's on their way to the Super Bowl.
Very much, yeah.
Aaron Rodgers is Aaron Rodgers. It doesn't really matter who's running for them. Starks has been really good when Lacey's injured. They took James Jones basically off the waiver wire, plugged him back in.
I think question
and
is
he's been great.
Will he end up with wide receiver one numbers or wide receiver two numbers? That's the only question, because Cobb's going to end up with wide receiver number one numbers. Their tight ends, Rodgers won't. Nope. Lacey will be Lacey, of a lot of the running backs like Hill. I'm worried about. I'm not worried about Lacey, even though he's only number 47 ranked running back. The question is, where will Jones end up? I think he's going to end up high end number two.
Yeah, Jones would have been a great pickup off the waiver wire, no question about it. All right, the Minnesota Vikings 2-1, despite the fact that Teddy Bridgewater hasn't had to do much. Adrian Peterson over those last two games has been doing pretty much all of the heavy lifting. Charles Johnson is out now for a while, but he wasn't really being integrated into the offense. They don't actually need wide receivers for the most part. They're getting it done on the ground.
Yeah, it's really weird to me that you surround Bridgewater with all those weapons and then make no use of them, but I guess you're having success. And certainly it's not just Peterson. They have a talented running crew there. I think now if you own Peterson, I think you probably thinking you got your stud. I think it's time personally for you to sell high because I think he'll slow down. Plus, I think he's going to get beat up and possibly even injured. I think right now you sell high on him and get a bunch for him and then laugh your way into the playoffs and perhaps possibly your league championship.
Well, one of the unfortunate things for the Vikings is that they play in a terribly weak division, save for the Green Bay Packers. Speaking of weak, the Detroit Lions, 0-3.
Oh, it's very disappointing.
Yeah, I'm really surprised about this one because I did expect their offense had turned a corner under Lombardi, but it looks like he actually doesn't have any good ideas at all for this here. Calvin Johnson is being terribly used. Their running game, they're still trying to get Joik Bell started, even though Amir Abdullah is obviously the guy who's going to take over. Golden Tate is okay, but Matt Stafford has been just terrible.
Yeah, it's really weird. You know, Johnson's underperforming. Tate's been consistent. Everyone's had a good game here. Theo Riddick has popped up every now and then, but it's like, nobody steps up, and it's nobody. It doesn't feel like it's somebody's team. It should be somebody should be. This is my team. I'm going to put them on their backs. That hasn't happened, and I mean it's weird to see the Sue struggling with the Dolphins, but yet the Lions struggling without Sue.
Yeah. All right. Wow. The Chicago Bears. If there's a worse team in football, I don't know who it is. I know lots of teams are 0-3 at this point, but the truth is the Chicago Bears, 46 points for, which puts them very near the bottom, and 105 points against, which puts them like way ahead of everybody else. John Fox is already starting to sell off the players for cheap. So, you know, right now you don't have a quarterback who's fantasy relevant. Alshon Jeffrey's not playing very much. Matt Forte is struggling immensely because of this. The Bears are a quagmire.
Yeah, but I mean, I think they're the worst team because of the injuries. Largely, they're really devastated, and it's good to sell people off, get your own people in there. I think Fox in a couple of years will rebuild them. The real question is, if Forte ends up somewhere, if Jeffrey ends up somewhere, if Bennett ends up somewhere, what would that do for their value? Again, if you can get them cheap right now, pick those guys up because they might pay off.
All right, the Carolina Panthers, 3-0. You know, the reason why I believe is like Cam Newton's not been really that special.
Yes, he has. Cam Newton's been incredible.
Their receivers are definitely average at best.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, and even like Jonathan Stewart has not
been. Which even makes him even more incredible.
Yeah. Jonathan Stewart has not been great.
No.
Again, so you can point at Cam Newton being incredible. But the truth is, what I will say, they have had a very soft schedule, and they have completely taken advantage of that.
Oh, yeah. Their defense looks really good, too. But again, it's a soft schedule. Yeah, I mean, but Newton is awesome because he's running so much. That's the thing. He's so big and strong, and Olsen is a great weapon. So, I mean, the Panthers, you're getting value on Newton this year, is the way I see it. And Olsen, I'm glad we picked him up a whole bunch.
Yeah.
Because tight ends are still a problem out there.
The Atlanta Falcons, also 3-0, and they've been 3-0 against some much better teams. I mean, they barely pulled it out against Philly. They barely pulled it out against Dallas. But, you know, they're still standing up. Like, their defense is still an issue. But at the same time, you know, Julio Jones is a beast.
Oh.
This guy's gonna kill everybody in the league.
Best wide receiver in the league.
Devontae Freeman showed up really well last game. He's a volume dependent back, no question about it. He'll probably go back to a timeshare when Tevin Campbell
60-40. He'll be 60-40.
But at the same time, when you have Julio Jones and you have Matt Ryan throwing to him, their defense has some leeway to not be that good.
Yeah, their record might be better than their reality, but at the end of the day, are they fantasy relevant? Yeah, if you have Ryan, you can start him, though I'd rather stream. And Jones will be a difference maker, and Freeman, he's not going to do that every game, but I think he'll be a consistent player.
All right, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Again, they managed to win that game against, or lose the game against Houston, which I was surprised at.
But I wasn't.
But at the same time, you know, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I mean, Jameis Winston is going to be inconsistent in his first year. Mike Evans, I think, has been a little bit of the problem for people. They drafted him very high.
Yeah, he had a good game last time, but, I mean, he was injured, remember, the first couple weeks.
Yeah, early. Yeah, for sure.
Second week he played, but it was hurting. Jackson's giving it up.
Yeah, and then Doug
Martin gives hamster. You nothing. Yeah, yeah, he gives you nothing because Winston is inconsistent, so.
And their offensive line really is struggling.
And they fall behind and have to throw.
Yeah.
I think it's too bad. I think Martin actually is, everything's in line for him to be a really good player this year. But boy, I think the situation is bad for him. It is where he could somewhere else be really, like, can you imagine him in Arizona?
Generally outplayed and almost always outcoached. All right. Speaking of outcoached, the New Orleans Saints.
Oh my God. Who would have thought that, huh?
I would not have. Even the fact that it looked like they were peeling their, you know, offense back to more of a run game centric offense, you know, given the fact that Drew Brees is really old now, but I still expected them to be, you know, standing in the NFC South. But right now, I mean, they're bringing up the rear, and they don't look like they're going to be doing anything but soon.
Well, it's this simple. Cooks is a complimentary player, not a franchise wide receiver. They can't seem to get Ingram going. They don't have an identity. They don't know if they're going to be a run team or Breeze's team. The changes they made in the offseason aren't working. And the changes were also supposed to improve the defense, and that defense is still piss poor. Nothing's looking good for the Saints.
And Breeze has a $30 million cap hit this year alone. Wow. All right, the Arizona Cardinals, 3-0. I'm not 100% surprised about this because I thought that with Carson Palmer coming back that...
I think it was all how people were expecting the defense to really suffer without Bowles. Guess what? They still have a good head coach.
Yeah, and actually more to the point, they have a great head coach. Because the truth is, you got as long as you've got Carson Palmer thrown to Larry Fitzgerald, you know, they'll work Michael Floyd in, they've got John Brown... Chris Johnson looks a little bit rejuvenated.
Isn't it a little bit like the Patriots? Like, the Patriots have at least some of their parts are better than the actual players. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you take those players somewhere else, they're not necessarily as good, like Blount, but with good coaching, who knows how to make use of the players to the best of their ability, they perform better than they would anywhere else. And that's what seems to be happening there.
Oh, absolutely. You know, they're a team that is definitely... I would consider a Super Bowl contender.
Yeah, Palmer's still available some places. Grab him.
St. Louis Rams. All right. 1-2. You know, they're a team, their defense hasn't been nearly as good as people anticipated coming in.
Better last week against the Steelers, but still.
Yeah, but the truth is that it's still their offense. Their running game, they have yet to actually find a consistent running back. Jeff Fisher is stuck in the Stone Age as far as his coaching goes. So, I mean, he's looking for Nick Foles to, you know, basically just do the standard things that a quarterback did 40 years ago. And Nick Foles is struggling right now, but more to the point, their receivers are struggling.
Foles, you know, there was great hope after week one, but no, you can't have him even, maybe as a backup, maybe, but I wouldn't even. The real thing for me is this is why you don't draft the defense high, because I saw this defense being going in the 7th and 8th round, and now I see them on the waiver wire, and that's why you never draft a defense high.
67 points against, whereas the Arizona Cardinals have 49. The Carolina Panthers, 48, you know.
Yeah.
San Francisco 49ers. Wow.
How many do they have against?
Oh, 93. So that would probably put them, I think, a second worst overall. You know, it's funny. That first game, Carlos Hyde came out there and ripped it up. And the next game, you had Colin Kaepernick come out there in garbage time and look really solid. But overall... San Francisco, Roto-World referred to them as a dumpster fire, and I'm starting to agree. I think they are a dumpster fire.
Yeah, I was wrong with them. I thought they would be, you know, a 7-9 type team, and that they would rally around each other. And no, it's what it is. At the end of the day, it's cap is so inconsistent, it's unbelievable, and their defense I think is the worst in the league, and that is it's going to be frightening there. Hyde on week one is a great example of why you have to know when to sell high.
Well, here's the crazy thing. The 49ers have 5 TDs. Cardinals have 17. Seattle Seahawks, on the other hand, have 7. So also not very good. But they're also a 1-2 team. They are currently...
they have a defense,
though. Yes. But they are currently at the bottom because their offense... their offense is still better than a couple of teams. But I don't know what it is with them. They're just losing games, and a lot of it was obviously Cam Chancellor. I mean, that's Chicago. You can't say anything.
No, I mean, beating Chicago 24-0 at home. Really, they should have beat them 70-0.
Yeah.
I mean, again, they were slow starters last year, and when we say Arians is a great coach, he's the third best coach in the league. Obviously, Belichick is the best, and you have to say Carroll's the second best. So I mean, do I still expect this team to be 10-6 or probably 11-5, make the playoffs and be dangerous? I mean, be the team who can knock off the Packers? I wouldn't want to play them.
Nope, no doubt. 32 teams, but 32
Lynch,
minutes.
Man, oof, getting scared.
Yeah, for sure. All right, let's do some picks.
Let's rock it through some quick picks. And by the way, now I remember why we managed to do it, but now I remember why we waited a year, because that's harder to do than it looks, folks.
It definitely is. All right. So the Ravens and Steelers. Let's see now. This one's very hard. You know, I'm actually going to go with the Steelers because I think that Michael Vick is going to pull it out.
Yeah, I'm going Steelers. I just think Bell's going to have a huge game, so I like the Steelers in this one.
All right, Dolphins versus the Jets. I think the Jets get back on track against the struggling Dolphins.
This is one of those games where I can really see the team win. It's a really, really, really tough game. At the end of the day, it depends on Ivory and Decker's health for me. I'm going to go the Dolphins.
All right, the Panthers, Buccaneers. I like the Panthers because, again, this is 4 weeks of a soft schedule.
You talk about the soft schedule, but, well, they haven't blown it yet. There's no reason to think they will here.
Nope, no point in betting against them. The Chiefs, Bengals. Well, hard not to like the Bengals. Bengals at home, the Chiefs struggling.
Yeah, exactly, which makes me think it's a trap game, but I cannot pick the Chiefs even though part of me thinks it's the right move.
Yeah, I mean, I think the trap game for me is definitely the Dolphins versus the Jets, because I wouldn't be surprised if the Dolphins
win. If the Jets hadn't lost that last game, I would agree more.
Yeah.
It's a weird one.
The Jaguars-Colts, I don't see this being a trap game at all. Even though the Colts are struggling, I 100% expect the Colts to beat them.
Yeah, even with Luck's health not looking so good. Neither is Bortles, actually. So, yeah, the Colts, they have the better team.
Yeah. All right, the Chargers-Browns. The Chargers should bring themselves back up to 500 here. The Browns are actually looking like they have some strife in the locker room. Never a good sign, and I think Patine has lost complete control of that team. Not that there was much control to be had in the first place.
I believe the Browns can win this game. No question in my mind. It's a lot closer than it should be. It's 55-45, but the 55 says Chargers. Now 100%.
100%. The Packers going up against the 49ers. I don't care if the 49ers are at home. I don't care if this game is played on the moon and the 49ers have an extra 11 players. The Packers are still going to win.
Yeah, no kidding. I don't care if you put your junior varsity team out there with Rodgers. He could beat the 49ers because he's Aaron Rodgers. He's so good. But I think from one of us should take this as our survivor game as well.
Oh, absolutely. No questions about that. The Cowboys versus the Saints.
So tough.
I think it's very hard, but you know, until the Saints prove to me that they can actually play, I'm going with the Cowboys.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. What's Breeze's health this week?
He's questionable, but I still think he's going to miss the game.
Yeah, the Cowboys should win, so I'm going with the Saints, though, because one of these games where they should win, somebody else is going to win.
No, no.
So I'm going to go with the Saints.
All right, the Giants versus the Bills. As much as I hate to say it, the Bills are a better team. And they're at home, so I'm going to go with the Bills.
I'm going to go with the Giants. I'm waiting for the Tyra Taylor wheels to fall off.
Oh, you know what? They might eventually, but I don't think it'll be this week. The Raiders versus the Bears. Well, this, if you're going to stream Derek Carr, you do it this week.
You can stream Carr. You could stream the Raiders defense this week. You could stream Janikowski this week. Like, you could do a lot here. Absolutely the Raiders.
Yeah. And
3-1 Raiders.
Yeah.
That'll be crazy.
All right, the Texans-Falcons. You know, I don't see any way the Texans can beat the Falcons.
I don't think so either. I the Falcons at home, yeah. I think it'll be closer and probably lower scoring than people think, but I expect the Falcons.
Yeah. All right, the Eagles versus the
Redskins. By the way, the Falcons, is that's a good streamer as well.
No doubt. Eagles-Redskins. This is I don't like this game much at all. Because
I got the Eagles safely.
I'm going to go with the Eagles, but you know, I don't know. I feel like the Redskins could definitely pull that one.
I think the Eagles' pace will manage to get their pace going. Will absolutely pull this off.
All right, the Vikings Broncos. The Broncos. Yeah.
Well, the Broncos are 3-0, so you have to go with them. But can the Vikings look bad on the road in the first game? Great at home last couple. I mean, Do I see the Vikings winning? Possibly, but I'd have to pick the Broncos.
Yeah, the question will be, like, can the Broncos stop Adrian Peterson? Because if they can, then they're just going to force Teddy Bridgewater to throw, and that hasn't been too big a deal so far. All right, the Rams-Cardinals. The Cardinals.
The Cardinals, yeah, because the Cardinals look like possibly the best team in the league right now.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, that's why you have to go with them. That said, historically, the Rams in their division pull a lot of upsets. So maybe it'll be closer than it looks to be. But this doesn't even look to me to be the Rams team from the last couple of years. But they beat the Seahawks week one in the upset. So, yeah, it's a bit tougher than it should be. But you got to go Cards.
Well, here's another team that isn't going to beat the Seahawks in an upset, the Detroit Lions.
It's not going to happen.
Not going to happen at all. The Seahawks are at home. They're getting ready
good
to make
survivor
a push.
Team pick.
Yep, and the Detroit Lions are getting ready to pack it in.
In fact, I think I'll take the Seahawks on my survivor pick probably, or the Falcons. What about you?
Gotta like the Cardinals, but I love the Raiders. The Raiders might be the team because this is the if you're gonna jump on a
you're a little bit on riskier on them. I'm a little more safe on it, so I think so. Best players of the week, I think you Aaron Rodgers at quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
I think Cobb at one of the wide receivers.
Yep.
I think...
If Lacy's playing,
if he's playing, I'm not sure he will be. So, I mean, at the other wide receiver who you like out there to have a great week, I think...
I really like A.J. Green.
I think Julio again.
Julio again, of course.
I just like Julio, even with the Texans. I think Julio.
I think that Amari Cooper and Latavius Murray could be, and Derek Carr.
I would take a Murray this week at running back. If we want to go with Murray, and the other running back. Ooh, geez, I'm gonna go. I think we should go with. That's actually tough.
You want to know who a sneaky play is?
Who's that?
Carlos Williams going up against the Giants.
Yeah, he's not a bad play at all. I wouldn't play him. I mean, Randall is a good play, I think. Yeah, I like Murray, like you say. It's kind of a funny one, but maybe Rawls even.
Because a lot of guys are injured, and that's the problem.
CJ, there's a lot of it's a
Chris
really tough one.
Let's
go with this. Let's go with Bell, and let's go with Bell and Murray. Running back, Rodgers and Cobb. Who's the other wide receiver?
Probably
Beckham,
Julio. I would say Julio or AJ Green.
Okay, I'll go Julio, I think, is where we go. Tight end this week. It seems to me like it should be Jimmy Graham's week.
Yeah, Jimmy Graham's great. Alternately, so is Greg Olsen.
Yeah, I think Olsen is tremendous this week as well. So, I mean, I think you got to go. Actually, let's go Olsen on our picks here on that one.
All right. Defense, I'm going to have to say that the Cardinals stack up really well.
Ooh, Cardinals defense looks terrific. Like I say, you can stream the Raiders this week. I'm not so sure. I mean, if the Seahawks defense for me is the
Seahawks
best
pick. Is killer. Yeah, no question.
That to me is the number one pick of the week.
And kicker is a kicker, so whatever.
Kicker is a kicker, so yeah. I mean,
Janikowski. Again,
I think Janikowski this week is great, but I mean Crosby probably is the guy. So, all right, that's it. I think that's it for We Talk Fantasy Football for this week.
Certainly is.
So we'll be back soon. You can get a hold of us on Twitter at We Talk Podcasts. So I think that's about it.
Otherwise, we'll see you and we'll beat you.